Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Following the words of the call to worship, this reading picks up in chapter 3, verse 11. God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, God has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. The gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of great and God of small, as we turn to your word, by your Holy Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Almost every July, I take a break from the lectionary to preach a short sermon series. And back in February, when I planned to preach on the little things, I had no clue that 5 months later, we'd be in the throes of a raging pandemic. But in God's great sense of humor, it seems more appropriate now than ever. We are reminded daily that it's the little things that have the largest impact on slowing the spread of COVID-19. It's a little thing to wash our hands. It's a little thing to wear a mask. It's a little thing to do some physical distancing. It's a little thing to stay home. Those are not difficult challenges. At least you wouldn't think they should be. Christina Rossetti was a poet in 19th century England. And in one of her poems, she writes, "Give us grace, O Lord, to work while it is day, fulfilling diligently and patiently whatever duty thou appointest us, doing small things in the day of small things, and great labors if thou summon us to any." It seems to me that days of small things are most of the days of our lives. Scientists say the universe started as a very small thing 13 or 14 billion years ago. Even before there was time or space, there was just this very small thing. And in less than a trillion trillionth of a second, God said, "Let there be." And with grace and power and great labor, in a twinkling of God's eye, a universe was born. Jesus has a penchant for little things too, you know. He talks about faith the size of a mustard seed that can move mountains or provide shelter for the birds of the air. He blesses children and says that it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. He takes 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds a multitude. Little things. And so it feels like the little things are most of the days of our lives. And this month, I want to take a few Sundays to consider some of the little things that have been entrusted to us. This week, our time. Next week, relationships. The following week, our care for this creation. Little things that make up most of the days of our lives. 30-some years ago, Jeremy Rifkin wrote a book entitled Time Wars, pondering why, in a culture so obsessed with efficiency, we seem to have so little time to call our own. And in the book, he notes that the idea of segmenting our lives into allotted blocks of time is a relatively new concept. It wasn't even until the 15th century that clocks began to appear alongside churches in the town squares of European villages. And it wasn't until the 17th century that those clocks had minute hands on them. Rifkin blames it all on the Benedictine monks. You may remember that the Benedictines are the order that has seven set times for prayer through the day, beginning in the pre-dawn hours and continuing sometimes as late as midnight. Saint Benedict believed that idleness is the enemy of the soul, and we seem to have claimed his motto as our own. And so whether it's arranged and codified by Catholic monks or our own calendars, life can often end up feeling like that episode of I Love Lucy, when Lucy and Ethel get a job at the candy factory, remember? They can't keep up with all the chocolates coming down the conveyor belt, and so Lucy starts grabbing them and shoving them in her mouth and her shirt and everywhere else she can just to stop their relentless advance. I have to admit, sometimes life feels like that. Like there's not enough time, or ironically, when we have all the time in the world, none of it feels very satisfying. And that's why this passage from Ecclesiastes brings me some comfort. If you're of a certain generation, you'll remember that the words we used in our call to worship this morning are the lyrics to Turn, 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 written by Pete Seeger and recorded as a number one hit by the Byrds in 1965. But the text itself is much older than that. Ecclesiastes is the name the Greeks gave to the ancient Hebrew teacher of wisdom named Koheleth. He wrote after the Babylonian exile, which was an event that taught the Hebrew people that human experience was never going to be one long, uninterrupted walk in the park. Some see Ecclesiastes as the ultimate cynic. I would call him more of a realist. A practical theologian who advises his readers that then, since there are so many things over which we have no control, it is wise to be happy and to look for joy. There is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's good gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. The Greek world recognized two kinds of time. Chronos time, where we get our words chronological or synchronized. Chronos time is measured by the ticking of the clock or the phases of the moon or the rotation of the earth. The other Greek word for time is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, kairos time, is an appointed time, a significant time, a time that has expectation attached. Kairos time, to me, often makes chronos time feel as if it stands still. Paul Tillich, the German theologian, calls kairos time the eternal now, where God's grace breaks powerfully into our consciousness and gives us the certainty of the eternal. If you've ever looked deeply into the face of your newborn child, or if you've lost yourself lying in the grass and staring at the sky, if you've ever felt like God put you somewhere for a reason, then you have experienced kairos time. I learned something this week. Obviously, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, which was the common language of the Middle East. But in the 3rd century BC, the Old Testament was translated into Greek for use by Greek-speaking Jews. It's a version called the Septuagint. And when that happened, the translators made an interesting interpretive decision. And in this third chapter of Ecclesiastes, they literally said, for everything there is a season, chronos, and a kairos, a time for every matter under heaven. And what that says to me is that while we're always living in chronos time, regulated by calendars and clocks, we are also always living in God's kairos time. Several years ago, after my mom suffered a stroke, someone passed on a book to me called A Stroke of Insight by Dr. Jill Bolt Taylor. In 1996, Dr. Taylor was a 37-year-old Harvard-trained neuroscientist when she had an aneurysm in her left temporal lobe. It took her 8 years of therapy to recover. She lost her ability to speak or read or understand words, as well as her understanding of numbers. She also lost access to her memories and dreams because the left brain, the part that organizes life into a linear fashion into past and present and futures, was temporarily taken offline. And all that was available to her was her right brain, which is hardwired to live every moment in the now. Maybe that sounds like your worst nightmare, but Taylor says that she did not feel anger or grief or fear at that moment. To her surprise, she said she felt a kind of peace and a oneness with God. She was suddenly kicked back into Kairos time and noticed again all the little things that make for wonder and joy. And even after her recovery, she was determined not to lose that. Do not worry about tomorrow, Jesus says. Today is enough for today. Now, we can't manufacture Kairos time, but we can open ourselves to it, to what God is doing in the here and now. It takes time, chronos time, because we cannot make room for God when there's not room for anything else. But I hope you will remember that for everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to schedule meetings and a time to turn off the phone and close the computer. A time to Zoom and a time for talking with those at your own dinner table. A time to buy school supplies and a time to catch lightning bugs with delighted children. A time to remember and a time to give thanks. God has made everything suitable for its time. Amen.